can all open up to message number 2. And here we see Joseph receiving the vision and living according to the vision he saw. So this morning, we saw part of the vision that Joseph received was that of he and his brothers being sheaves of life. Okay, wow, we have a lot of noise here. Amen. Is there anything we can do to get a little quieter? Okay. All right, we're going to do our best. Amen. So Joseph, the first vision that he saw his brothers, he saw all of his family, they were sheaves of life. He just saw them being full of life. And this is really who we are. We have received the life of God. A lot of people speak about the goal of the Christian life being just to be transported into another place. But actually, what God does is he gives us his very life and he makes us full of life. But tonight, the second vision that Joseph saw was that of his brothers and sisters, of his brothers and his parents being luminaries, shining, being full of light. Okay, I hope many of you have already read Genesis chapter 37, Genesis 38, 39, 40. Tonight, we're going to be in some of these chapters here. Okay, so in this next vision that Joseph saw, he saw a vision of his brothers, his parents. And when we come to the Roman number 1, we can see this here. In his second dream, in Genesis 37:9, Joseph saw the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars, signifying his father, his mother, and his 11 brothers. According to their fallen nature, God's people are evil and unclean. And for sure, Joseph saw this. He realized this. His brothers were hating him. He saw his brothers sinning around him. But in God's eternal view, Joseph also realized that his people are heavenly bodies full of light. It's probably even after the failures of his brothers that God came in and gave him a vision that he would realize that all of God's people are shining stars. They're a shining sun. They're a bright, shining moon in the dark age, in the dark night. And this dream that Joseph had, we can also see it in Revelation chapter 12. Based on the principle of Joseph's dream, the sun, the moon, and the 12 stars in Revelation 12 must signify the totality of God's people on earth, which is symbolized by a woman. So in Revelation chapter 12, there is the sun there, and that represents God's people in the New Testament age. That's us. When Christ came, he came as a great light. It says, a great light has shined upon people sitting in darkness. Christ coming to the earth changed this dark earth to a bright place. I'm so glad I wasn't born before Christ came. That would have been terrible. I'm so glad I was born now, where this great light has come to the earth. All right, the moon, that represents God's people in the Old Testament age. That was a little better, but not as good as now. And then the 12 stars in Revelation 12, that signifies all of the patriarchs before the giving of the law. But anyway, this is a wonderful vision that we're all praying that we could all see, that God's people are full of light. You know, one of my favorite verses is Psalm 16:3. It says, as for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent. All my delight is in them. Isn't that what we're all experiencing? That's why we came to this conference, because all of our delight is in the saints. We love each other. We love being with each other. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. And some of these, I'm going to read point C now. All of God's people in the three ages of the sun, the moon, and the stars, who together constitute the woman, are light bearers. You know, in the eyes of God, we're just a woman. He is the husband, and he has fallen in love with us. And the whole Bible ends with a wedding. We're on his heart. He loves us. He created the angels. He created the animals. But he can't marry them. but he made us in his image because to him, we are one corporate woman and he wants to marry us. Amen. The Bible is a romance. I'll show you my two hands here. All right. Can anyone see the difference between my two hands? As long as you're not from Israel. Okay. What's the difference between my two hands? Oh, very good. You guys are in the divine romance. The ring. Yes. This is God at the beginning of the Bible. He's great. He's perfect. But he's alone. This is God at the end of the Bible. There's going to be a way. He just can't wait to get married. And he's been investing thousands and thousands of years to get us ready. And so these are all the special ones, even in the age of the patriarchs, from Adam all the way up to Moses, many shining stars. And then from Moses all the way till the coming of Christ, all throughout the Old Testament. And then all the ones in the New Testament. I cannot wait until the millennial kingdom. And I can't wait for all of eternity. We're going to be with all of God's people. And we'll together we'll be one woman just loving him. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, now, in Roman numeral 2, I'm going to read this here. While Joseph's brothers indulged their lust in the midst of this darkness, we see Joseph as a bright star shining in the heavens. Praise the Lord. This is in Genesis chapter 39. Joseph, he's already been mistreated by his brothers. He was hated by them. He was thrown into a pit. Some even wanted to kill him. And then instead of killing him, what did they do? Does anyone remember? They sold him. They sold him for money to some Ishmaelites that were going on their way down to Egypt. And so therefore, Joseph, he ends up in Egypt. He's been sold into slavery. And now his new job is in the house of this Egyptian ruler named Potiphar. Okay, now, I'm going to just go back and cover two of Joseph's brothers. Remember, Tim, he did a good job this morning. He showed us all of Joseph's family, all of his brothers. So the first one was Reuben, and the fourth one was Judah. Regarding Judah, this is in the outline here, see that Judah committed adultery with his daughter-in-law, having no conscience and no eyesight. His eyes had been blackened and blinded, and blindness signifies darkness. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, but this message tonight, it's really a battle against the God of this age. Paul speaks about this, that the God of this age, now we know the God of the universe, that's our God who became a man by the name of Jesus Christ, but there's also another God with a small letter G. It's called the God of this age, and what does he do? He blinds people. He just blinds people. So the message tonight is really a battle against the God of this age who has blinded so many people. I remember the day that I realized I had been blinded. For the first time in my life, hatred rose up and against me towards Satan. You know, it's like when somebody tricks you. It's one thing if they just tell you something and then you make your own decision. But it's so much more painful when you get tricked, when somebody deceives you, when somebody blinds you, when you think you like one thing, and then the veil gets taken away and you realize what it actually is. Oh, that tonight is a battle against the God of this age who blinds people's hearts. So I hope that even some of us would be praying. This is a corporate battle. Hopefully we could win this corporate victory against the God of this age, especially for the sake of all the young people here. So Judah, right, he was in darkness. How could anyone commit fornication, adultery? They're blinded. So he was in darkness. And then Reuben, his oldest brother, he committed adultery with his father's concubine. He was the firstborn, and he should have had the birthright. Let's discuss, what is this birthright? All right, so when a father in the Old Testament had many sons, everyone got a certain portion of the father's wealth and estate after his death. But the firstborn, he got a double portion. So let's say the father had $11 million and he had 10 sons. That means he would give each son $1 million, $1 million, $1 million. But the firstborn, he would give a double portion. So how much is that? $2 million. $2 million, yes. So Reuben, he was the firstborn. He was supposed to get $2 million. He was supposed to get the birthright. But because of his mistakes, because of indulging in the lust of the flesh, he lost it. So this is what we want to present to you all tonight. This is part of the picture. Now, on the other hand, Joseph, does anyone know what number Joseph was? There were 12 sons. Reuben was number one, and Joseph was number 11. Very good. You guys have read it. All right, amen. Joseph was number 11. And instead of Reuben getting the birthright, Joseph got the $2 million. I hope that each one of us, we want to go for the $2 million. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, I'll tell you a secret. When I was at a summer young people's conference, I believe it was the summer of 1986, it was probably 1986. I think I was 13 years old. I heard a message like this. And there was a response in me. And I believe there's a response in many of you. Lord, I want the birthright. Lord, I want the birthright. And when I got back about a month later to little Raleigh, North Carolina, in my room, just, you know, a lot of things are going to be sown into you as seeds this week. And you may have prayers during this week. You might have prayers next week. You might have prayers next month. But I believe many of you are going to have prayers. And those hidden prayers in your bedroom, just between you and the Lord alone, they mean a lot. They mean a lot. When you feel the Lord just reminding you. I don't remember what it was. I was in my bedroom. About a month later, I came home after the conference, and I remembered that serious word that brother gave. And I said, I got to do something with it. I got to do something with it. And I prayed. I prayed. Okay. So Joseph, number 11, gained the birthright because of his purity. Purity. The Lord wants a pure bride because he's pure, Mr. and Mrs. Pure. Amen. That's the way the whole Bible ends, with this wonderful wedding. Now, the birthright, what is the birthright? I looked it up in one of the footnotes tonight. The birthright is the kingdom reward during the millennium. The kingdom reward during the millennium. Right now, we're in the age of grace, the age of the church. And after, as soon as the Lord comes back, another age will begin for 1,000 years. 1,000 years. It's not yet eternity future when we're all the new Jerusalem, but it's a 1,000-year period when we can either be rewarded or we can be punished. All of the ones that get the birthright, they get to inherit the earth. Hebrews 2, 5 and 6 says, "For it was not to angels that he has subjected the coming inhabited earth, but to man." The Lord wants to give the earth to man. Remember, the brothers are speaking about dominion. What's our ID? I, image, D, dominion. Right now we're being trained. And then also, the other part of the birthright is the priesthood and the kingship. Revelation 20, chapter 20, verse 6. "They will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. We're all sons of God. And you know, you're all sitting on chairs right now. This is such a perfect picture. Our God the Father, he wants to put, we've all been predestined. Remember the train that Tim was speaking about this morning? We're all going on a train. And the final destination is a throne. A throne. Revelation 22 says, they will reign with him forever and ever. But two chapters before that, Revelation 20, which speaks about the millennial kingdom, says they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Does God love us or not? Does God love us or not? We're all going to be sitting on thrones. And we want to be sitting on those thrones today, every day of our life. All right, let's come back to Joseph now. All right, so now Joseph, he's down in Egypt. He's probably got his first job. When you get your first job, you'll realize it's not easy to be out there in the world with worldly people. He's got his first job. And but you know what? You know what I like? I like, even before we talked about his job, look at this. Genesis 39:2, it says, "Now Jehovah was with Joseph." Now Jehovah was with Joseph. Oh, that is a precious thing. It's almost like as if, you know, in a sense, I just wanted to draw like a rainbow. A rainbow. The rainbow. And here's Joseph. Jehovah was with Joseph. Remember, a rainbow in the Bible, that signifies God's faithfulness for man not to be destroyed. It also signifies God's mercy. You know, just let your mercy rain down on me. I need a rainbow over me. Joseph had a rainbow over him, around him. Genesis 39:2 says, Jehovah was with Joseph, and he became a prosperous man. He became a prosperous man. And his master, Potiphar, saw that Jehovah was with him, and that Jehovah caused all that Joseph did to prosper in his hand. Anyone here want a rainbow? Anyone here want Jehovah to be with you? All right. This is what we're going to unpack tonight. What caused Jehovah to be with Joseph? Right now, we're in Genesis 39. If we go back to Genesis 35 and 38, you know, Joseph, he was at the bottom of the line. He was number 11. He saw his older brothers. He saw them committing bad sins. So how did he avoid committing those bad sins that his older brothers committed? Well, I think the key can be found in Judges chapter 5. I love these two verses. Judges chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. And I like to start with 16. It's amazing. It says even here in the divisions of Reuben, he committed those bad sins. But several hundred years later, the tribe, all of his descendants, in those divisions of Reuben, there were great verse 16. There were searchings of heart. I'm absolutely sure. When Joseph saw his brothers committing those sins, he spent some time with the Lord, and he had great searchings of heart. Am I going to do the same thing? Everyone in this, I mean, his brothers were not any different than all the Canaanites that lived there. Am I going to do the same thing? He had great, great searchings of heart. And then that's verse 16, Judges 5:16. And the preceding verse, Judges 5:15, says, among the divisions of Reuben, that's so encouraging, there were great resolutions of heart. Great resolutions. A resolution is my personal decision. The words I just spoke terrify Satan. Terrify him. He's leading person after person to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They don't even realize this is the Satan tree. They don't realize it. They just think, oh, it's this kind of music. Oh, it's this kind of movie. He's just leading person after person there. And then all of a sudden, somebody says, has a great searching of heart. And then he has a great resolution. I will not eat of that tree. Every man has the power. Every person has the power to have a great searching of heart. And at the end of that great searching of heart, make a quiet, simple, inaudible, nobody else hears it, but God and Satan know it. That is a resolution. I will no longer eat of that tree. I'm choosing another tree because I've seen who is behind that tree. And I know where that tree leads. I remember when I was about your age, junior 10, my eyes were open. I just realized everyone in my school is running in like a herd and they're all going off the cliff. And I'm watching one after another go off the cliff. I don't want to go off the cliff. I'm not going to give you the examples. But 13-year-olds, 12-year-olds, everyone's going off the cliff. I'm not going off the cliff. No, I'm not going off the cliff. Everything is connected. The music is connected. Then that leads to the dancing. Then that leads to the... I'm not going off the cliff. I'm not going off. Amen. This, I'm absolutely sure Joseph had a time like this where he had a great searching of heart and he had a great resolution. And the Bible doesn't even record it. But when the test comes, in Genesis 39, he passes it. He passes it. Day after day, he passes it. Day after day, he passes it. Young people, we are praying for you. Oh, we're just all praying for you. I just wish you could all be standing with me right here. I wish we could fast forward 5 years and then Christina, Julia, Victor, all the brothers, all the sisters, we're standing here. And anyways, this is all between, you don't have to be standing here. The Lord, so many things happen in an invisible way. But then Joseph, he's at work. And this really, she must have been beautiful. Otherwise it's, you know, but, you know, he passes the test. He doesn't give in. He doesn't give in. You know, I want to touch something right now. You know, in the Bible, before the children of Israel entered into the good land, the Lord told them, tear down all the Baals. And he also told them, tear down all the Asherahs. There are more than 30 verses in the Bible that speak about tearing down the Asherahs. Who was Potiphar's wife? She was an Asherah. I want to read some of these verses to you. Mentioned more than 30 times in the Bible. When you read the verses, look at this verse here. This is the situation in Israel in 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 10 through 11. And they, the children of Israel, set up for themselves pillars and Asherahs on every high hill. Saints, we live in an age. Asherahs are every. Okay, what is an Asherah? An Asherah is a figure of a female. And she doesn't have clothes on. That's what God hates. And these were erected on poles all over Israel, on every hill, under every tree. God said, tear them down. And then in their houses, it said they all had little Asherahs. You know, I went through a tour guide class. They found little Baals. They found golden calves. And they found Asherahs. And it's just a little statue. And it needs to be destroyed. Our eyes would never look at that. When I walk through the streets of Israel, I hate going by clothing stores. Oh, I just hate it. You know what? We all see the same things. You know, I hate it. I don't even want to speak it. But you know, you go into the little grocery store here. We see it. There's some little picture. There's a poster there. Every time I see it, I destroy it in my heart. The Lord knows if I had a match, I'd burn it. The Lord knows if I could tear it down, I would. You know, this is what Josiah did. He was 8 years old when he became a king. And there Jeremiah is preaching. And when he turns 26, he's right there with Jeremiah. Let me read you these verses. 2 Kings 23, 3 through 4. And the king, Josiah, made a covenant. What is that? That's a great resolution. He made a covenant. Each one of you is able of making a covenant. And Satan is scared that you might make that covenant. And God's rooting for you. And we're all rooting for each other. Josiah made a covenant before Jehovah to walk after Jehovah, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul. And all the people stood with the covenant, and the king commanded to bring out of the temple of Jehovah. That's right there in Jerusalem, where God chose to place his name. Take out of the temple all the vessels that were made for Baal and for Asherah. And here's the part I like. And he burned them outside Jerusalem. I can't wait till next time I'm in Jerusalem, when I look at that valley of Kidron, say, my big brother Josiah took all those Asherahs and Baals out of the temple, took them over here to the valley of Kidron, and he burned them. And he burned them. So, dear young people, Satan has got a clear agenda. With regard to all the males, the brothers, he has already put his nature, his life into us. We can't avoid that. Our great, 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 great grandfather Adam and our great, 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 great grandfather Eve. We all have the same great, great grandparents. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They took in the poison of Satan. As soon as they had a baby boy, a murderer, Cain. And then after David committed terrible sins, he writes, I was born in sin. I was born in sin. We were all born in sin. So Satan's happy about that because we've got the sinful nature in us, inside of us. Now all he needs is something outside of us. All of those Asherahs. My spirit was provoked in Warsaw. Almost every taxi we ordered had a little Asherah right there on the door. My spirit was provoked. So, got this problem inside, put it out there. This is what's in front of the brothers. We have to learn to turn our head. I will not look. I don't care if I look crazy. I will put my eyes on the ground. I will not look. I will turn this way. Sometimes I walk down the street and I've got one eye closed. I will not look. As soon as I see a billboard, I close that eye. I will not look. You will not get your poison into me. Now, sisters, the age is working on you. They want to make each one of you, Satan wants to make each one of you an Asherah. He wants you to dress. It's just there. He wants you all to be dressed just in such a way, you know, just like, I can't even do it. But, you know, you're just drawing attention. Will there be sisters? Sisters, I have been praying for this for about a week. Lord Jesus, I pray there will be some sisters, some young sisters in this meeting that have searchings of heart. They will pray tonight. They will make the decision. I will never look like an Asherah. Never, never, never. Never. And the brothers will never look. Just no taste for that. It's all being recorded. God is recording it all. He is observing every time you walk down the street and it's just coming at you and you close your eyes. It's all being recorded. That's the stitching of the wedding gown. You're just becoming so beautiful, so beautiful. You're just drawing his heart. You have captured my heart, my sister, my bride. That's the stitching. He's preparing us to be his bride. I wish you could read. Hezekiah removed the high places, broke down the pillars, cut down the Asherah. All right, I'm going to share with you something I did when I was 14 years old. When I got light about this matter, even about the matter of clothing. I took those clothes and I went out to the forest and I took my matches and I burned all those clothes. Although I just liked, you know, I'm a man, I'm a guy, I'm not a woman, you know. But still, I realized the source of this clothing is the God of this age. I can't just throw it into the trash can and just let those demons go somewhere else. It's my turn to get revenge. It's my turn to exercise God's dominion all over all of those creeping things. I believe this is what Joseph did. This is what Josiah did. Young people, the Bible tells us clearly what Josiah destroyed them, burned them. Okay, make sure. Now, I just want to get back to this part here. This conference is called The Secret of the Reigning Life of Joseph. So our burden tonight is to unlock one of the secrets. There are many secrets, but the secret to being saved from the lust of the flesh. All right, if I could do it, it'd be number one. Number one, it is, first of all, it's the vision. You have to have the mask removed. Vision. Some of the things that I've shared with you tonight are vision. I hope you can see the tree of the knowledge, see what Satan's doing, and see what God wants. The vision. Then number two is the great searchings. Let me move over to red. Number three is the great resolutions. Now, number four, this is what I have to learn from David. You can read about this in the ministry. How could David, after he wrote so many psalms, how could he commit such terrible sins? Well, it was because he started to appreciate the law. He started to begin to think that I can actually do something. And he began to appraise himself. And because of that, this is Brother Lee's words, I love it, God had to take away his sustaining hand. David had a sustaining hand, but he began to think that it was him. And so God removed his sustaining hand. And he fell. So number four is, how do I summarize it into one word? Never trust in yourself. Amen. Never trust yourself. And this is Joseph. Can anyone think? Show me this in Joseph in Genesis 39 while I finish writing this. If you know it, stand up. Is there anyone standing up? How do we know that Joseph didn't trust himself when he was there in Potiphar's house? I'm rooting for you guys. Any young person? Okay, wait, I know a young person. Remember? Okay, no one got it. Okay. All right, okay, Joseph's, he's working there. Potiphar's wife wants to sin, but what does Joseph do? He runs away. That running away is never trusting in yourself. I'm not playing with fire. I'm not playing with fire. Brothers, sisters, just if you're on this track, we're going to be running away many times. There are going to be many awkward situations. I mean, still to this day, you know, hey, can you give me a ride home? I'm sorry, I will never, my wife and I, we have an agreement. I used to say it like this. We have an agreement. I never am with a female by herself, and my wife is never with a man by herself. So, oh, wow, that's respectful, you know. But anyway, sometimes these situations end out nice. Sometimes they're just awkward. But I think when Joseph ran away, I mean, it was awkward. He lost his jacket or whatever it was. So he fled. This is not trusting in ourselves. All right, and then the fifth one here is, I think these are the main four elements here, but I just want to read this to you. This is from the life study of 1 and 2 Samuel. all the saints, especially the young ones, should search their hearts and make a strong resolution of heart, never to go the way of the indulgence of the flesh. Our God is living, and Christ is real. With Christ as the life-giving Spirit, everything is real. But apart from him, everything is vanity of vanities. Who wrote that? Solomon. He had 1,000 wives. Vanity of vanities. The Spirit is moving within us in a very gentle way. We need to say, here it is. Lord Jesus, I love you. I need you, and I receive you. So with all of that as your background, don't just try to say this prayer in a quick, cheap way. You have to, right? It's first, there are the searching of the hearts, then a strong resolution, and then you pray in a simple way to the Lord. I hope all 400 of you would pray, would do this. And we all need to do it. David eventually, he didn't make it to the end. We all want to make it to the end. Lord Jesus, I love you. I need you, and I receive you. If we say this, he will be our Savior. Hallelujah. We're back to the rainbow. Jehovah was with Joseph. He will be our Savior and our dynamic salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. He will save us, preserve us, and protect us from the contamination of this age, so that we may keep the glory that we have gained. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Young people, that was 35 years ago for me when I was 14. Now I'm 49. I just want you guys to be enjoying the Lord for the next 35 years. It only gets better and better. Trust me. It only, with the Lord, he's our dynamic salvation. It's like, it's the best relationship possible. You're already enjoying it. And then a year later, wow, Lord, I didn't even know I could experience you this way. I'm so happy to be here in Poland this year. I was here 3 years ago. I'm not the same Daniel I was 3 years ago. And Tim and Paul, they're different. They're more, there's more glory. But we need a rainbow. We need Jehovah with us. That's the only, that's what makes the whole difference. Okay, praise the Lord. Amen. All right, so now we're going to come to, now we come to, in the outline, now we're on point C. Conducting himself as a bright star shining in the heavens in the midst of this darkness, Joseph seemed to be saying, all you people are under darkness. Isn't that true? All the people in the world. I just hope whenever you see something in the world, you wouldn't be saying, oh, wow, man, they're so cool. Wow, man, that's great music. Man, what a great video with that song. I hope within you'd be saying, all of you people are under darkness, but I, but you, but I, but we are shining upon you. I cannot forget my dream. This week, you're getting the dream. Day by day, meeting by meeting, you're getting the dream. When you go back, I cannot forget the dream. My dream controls me and directs me. As a heavenly star, I would never sell my position. Where are all the stars located? Up high in the sky. We've been seated with Christ. It happened on the day of his resurrection and ascension. We can't physically remember, but it happened. And that's where we are seated with Christ. And now we're shining in this dark age. It's before that day, there was just Christ shining as one big star. But on the day of his resurrection, he produced many sons of God. And now the whole universe is filled with stars. And this dark earth, doesn't matter how dark it gets, it's filled with stars. Stars, and we will not sell our position. I would never sell my position. Say that in your heart if that's in it. I would never sell my position. Thus, Joseph was one who lived a life that corresponded to his vision. Amen. Joseph was not only a dreamer, he was also one who practiced, one who lived out what he saw in his dream. Does anyone see the dream that we're on a train and we're glory bound? Anyone see the dream? Yeah, she sees the dream. Anyone else see the dream? Hallelujah. Amen. Eye has not seen. This is 1 Corinthians 2:7. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it come up in man's heart what God has prepared for those who love him. This is the dream. All right, now, D1. Every human being has lust. We got this from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you remember? Every human being has lust, and the way to control our lust is to be subdued, controlled, and directed by a vision. The function of the vision is similar to that of brakes in a car, right? I mean, we're all going to find ourselves in situations because of the lust. It's already in us, and it's going to be there until we're transfigured. So we need brakes. Sometimes we're just in a situation, you know, we're just talking, and then all of a sudden we realize, whoa. This is, we're being loose. What's going on here? We're making each other laugh. This is leading to something. You know, boys and girls, time to put the brakes on. Time to put the brakes on. In times of danger, we step on the brakes. The vision of the heavenly star. Remember, we are all heavenly stars. This vision is a powerful brake for our spiritual car. I'm staying in the heavens. I'm staying in my position as a spiritual star. Now we come to Roman numeral 3. We, the kingdom people in the kingdom life, are being trained to be kings, to be the Josephs, the reigning aspect of the mature life, right? This is what we've been sharing about. We're all destined for a throne. God has a throne, a throne. I wish I could touch your throne. Look at that. He has a throne prepared for each one of us. We're kingdom people. Oh, amen. Joseph's life under the heavenly vision was the life of the kingdom of the heavens described in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Those are really solid chapters. According to the constitution of the heavenly kingdom revealed in these chapters in Matthew, our anger must be subdued. You know, in the Old Testament, if you killed someone, then you broke the law. But in the New Testament, if you hate someone, even if you just call someone a fool, an idiot, stupid, that's serious. That's really serious. Joseph overcame this. He did not hate his brothers. He ends up in Egypt, and there he is, reigning in life. He just got betrayed by his own brothers. And now he's in Egypt, and he's full of light. He's speaking about God, even to Potiphar's wife. How could I offend God? That shows he just forgave his brothers. His anger was dealt with. Our anger must be subdued and our lust conquered. Point 2, instead of agreeing with our anger or cooperating with our lust, we reject our anger and condemn our lust because we are the reigning aspect of the mature life. This is how we mature in life. Every time we subdue the lust and every time we subdue our anger, we grow a little more in life. Amen. All right, now point B, we have the constitution of Christ within us and we are being prepared to reign as kings. Where is Jesus going to be sitting on his throne? Does anyone know? He's got the main throne. Where will he be? In Jerusalem. I can't wait. And he wants to give all the cities of the earth to all the other, his co-kings. He's going to take your throne and put it in another city and sit you on that throne. But it's got to be the real thing. You know, we're like born as babes, little by little. And he's just waiting. All right, two brothers come up here. Two brothers, any two, yeah. All right, come up here. Okay, you're a little too tall. How about you come here? You come here, yeah. Let's start out with these two brothers. All right, look at this. All right, let me show you these two brothers. This is God, and he's got his two little sons. And he's with them. He's like, oh, yes, my boys, they're growing. All right, now 5 years later, he wants two. Hey, give me two boys. These two right here. You're a little too tall. Here, no, you're later. Come here. Idita sudha. Oh, yes, my boys. They're growing. Oh, they're growing. Yeah, okay. Now, a couple years later. Come here. You two. Come here. Yes. Oh, my boys. Yeah, they're almost ready to be on a throne. Oh, look, they even got some muscle. Yeah, amen. My boys, they're almost ready. Yeah. All right, now. Okay, I can't get, he's too tall for me. Yeah. All right, here, let's see. All right, who's my size? All right, okay, let's see. All right, how about you? Stand up, how about you? Oh, yeah, God likes this, yeah. Oh, all right, yeah, I like this, yeah. All right, yeah. You got another one? How about you? How tall are you? Come here. Are you about my size? Yeah, you're good, yeah, come here. This, God is waiting for this day. You know, for God to throw Satan into the lake of fire, if he wanted to do it by himself, he would have done it a long time ago. But once he's there forever. And God does not want for him to get there by him as the creator putting that creature in there. It was in this context that Genesis 1:26 was spoken. Let us, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, they had a little conference. And the result of that conference, all we know is the conclusion. Okay, here's our decision. Let us make man in our image and let them have our likeness and let them have dominion. And then Paul speaks about this in Romans 16:20. The church there is just, you read about it in chapter 16, it's being built up. It's just wonderful. It's harmonious. And then he says, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The God of peace, thank you, brothers. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Brothers, sisters, this is part of the vision. Just to be preserved, that's necessary, but that's not our ultimate vision. Our ultimate vision is that God's purpose in creating us would be fulfilled. Sometimes I look at the arch of my feet, it's like this. Yeah, it's perfect. Just a snake could be right there. Yeah, that's why I've got arched feet. So there could be a serpent underneath my feet. Well, we have to grow in life. Amen. Hallelujah. He wants him to be underneath all of our feet. Okay. I want to read just two more points. Point two, the life that we have received does not merely save us from a few things like this. Rather, it enthrones us as kings to reign over all things. Point four, the power of this grace operates in us and makes us right with God, with others. But first of all, does anyone who's 13 know what grace is? Are you 13? All right, what is grace? What do you think grace is? Okay, that's a good start. Grace is people having an open mind, giving people chances. All right, do we have a 14-year-old who can add to the definition of grace? All right, 14-year-old. 15-year-old? I didn't know this when I was 13 or 14 or 15, so I'll just tell you. Okay, grace. Okay, grace, basically, this is God is pleasure. You know the Garden of Eden? I'm going to teach you a Hebrew word tonight. Eden. Gan Eden. That's the Garden of Eden. Pleasure Garden. It's used today. It's a common Hebrew name. Eden. Pleasure. But when this God, who is pleasure, gets enjoyed by little sisters and brothers and by me and by you, that's grace. Now someone has enjoyed Mr. Pleasure. All right, so this, when we enjoy the Lord, The power of this grace operates in us and makes us right with God, with others, and even with ourselves. It not only subdues the sin of anger and lust, but also overcomes Satan and death in our being. Thus, grace reigns through righteousness, resulting in eternal life. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Okay, dear saints, amen. Meeting by meeting, the vision is being revealed. And now, I think it's your turn to speak. And we'll all be praying for you. Amen. I wish we could stay together forever, but we're all going to go back to our countries afterwards. But believe me, I think you've received what's in my heart. We're praying for each other. The ones that know you the most, they're praying for you. All right, let's make sure we all stay quiet. Amen.